Man, didn't you enjoy that good music tonight? It's a wonderful blessing to be here. North Georgia is a beautiful place. I tell people across the country, there's two parts of Georgia, North Georgia and the rest of it, amen? But it's good to be here tonight with your pastor, and I'm glad he turned out a lot better than his brother, amen? But we appreciate him tonight. And I'll tell you, the church has a good choir and good musicians. And then it's always a blessing to be with the Wisdoms. We love them. Thank God for them. They're the real deal. And most singers I travel with are the real deal. They're just special. I've been trying to get them to let me sing with them. And I've given my number several times. And they just said, well, don't call us. We'll call you. If I didn't love the Lord and everything, that bothered me. But great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing, even insult, shall offend them. Amen. But we're so glad to be here tonight. My wife is with me. She don't go to church a lot, but she wanted to come up here. And I praise the Lord for her being here tonight. It's a real blessing. I understand your pastor's wife don't like to go either, but she's here, and we thank God for that. I was coming up the interstate a while ago, and a trooper had a feller pulled over out there on 75. He said, sir, he said, your wife fell out of the car about 3 miles back. He said, praise the Lord. He said, man, what are you praising the Lord for? He said, man, I thought I'd lost my hearing. Now, you blondes are going to get that after a while now. That's funny right there. I tell you, God's good. And appreciate the blessing of the Lord. The book of Job tonight, chapter number 9, the book of Job. Pastor, thank you so much for inviting us to come. And we've been anticipating the opportunity to come. I met Brother Boltner, that used to be your pastor. We preached several years ago together in a Bible conference. And what a precious, precious, precious man of God that he was. And I tell you, got a good man of God here now. And I appreciate his desire to serve the Lord. I appreciate your pastor not being afraid of old-time religion and people who believe the Bible. You know, years ago, when I was a little old boy growing up in my daddy's church, you know, there were several things. If you preached on, you'd make people mad. You know, if you preached on smoking or drinking or dancing or whatever, it'd make somebody mad. Brother, in our day, you can preach on the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus Christ, and make people mad. But if this old doctrine, this old gospel makes people mad, they'll just have to take a number and get in line. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I'm glad tonight I am a believer. I believe the Lord. I believe the Bible. And it's good tonight to be in a crowd that believes the book. If the Bible is not the Word of God and Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, we have no hope of heaven whatsoever at all. But I got some good news. Jesus is the Son of God and the Bible is the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is still in business, and the blood has never lost its power, and Jesus is still coming again. Praise God, I wish he'd come back tonight. I'd like to leave the devil all my bills to pay. I got a friend of mine's a prophecy preacher, and he's good too. And I said to him the other day, I said, Brady, I said, man, you preach so good on this prophecy. You know everything about it. Do you know who the Antichrist is going to be? And he said, no, but I've been married to his sister for 40 years. Amen. But I'm glad the Lord is coming back. The book of Job, chapter number 9. And I want to use tonight for our text, verse number 33. Job, chapter number 9 and verse number 33. Job cries out in the midst of his despair, neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that he might lay his hand upon us both. I'm interested tonight in that little phrase in verse 33. The little word daysman. That word daysman means a troubleshooter, a go-between, a bridge builder, a case handler, a problem solver. In the New Testament, it is called an intercessor. One who seeks an audience with God on behalf of another. By the time you come to Job 9, Job is at the deepest part of his valley experience. Growing up, hearing people preach about the book of Job, it seems like years and years and a whole lifetime of trouble. But if you'll study the chronological timetable of the book of Job, the events cover only a period of 1 year. One brief year in his life takes up this great book of the Bible. And it may have been a short time, a small space of time, but it was a hard time. It was a time of trouble. Job wakes up one morning and he feels like he's got the world by the tail. And before Job can get back in the bed, 24 hours later, the world's got him by the throat. And Job experiences the loss of his family. And Job experiences the loss of his finances. And Job even experiences the loss of his flesh. But in the book of Job, even when his family and his flesh and finances failed him, there was one thing Job found to be real and true in the deepest part of his valley. That is his faith that he had in God. By the time that last messenger left the presence of Job in chapter number 1, he's reduced to poverty. And all of his friends and all of his family and even the devil, they're wondering what Job is going to say and what Job is going to do. And I love what the Bible said. It said he fell upon his face and he worshiped God. And he said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Bible said, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a valley, what a turmoil, what an affliction that Job had to endure. By the time you come to chapter number 9, he is in the very depths of this valley. And I say that because of this. Job's suffering, Job's malady, Job's affliction has gone beyond physical. It has now reached spiritual and emotional. And don't ever make fun of anybody that's suffering spiritually and emotionally. Because sometimes the emotional trauma of the affliction is worse than the physical trauma. Because if you've got a footache, you take a foot pill. You got a backache, you take a back pill. You got a headache, you take a head pill. But when you got a heartache and a spirit ache and a mind ache, brother, there's no easy solution to that. And Job's malady, Job's turmoil, his affliction has gone beyond the physical realm and now it's spiritual and now it is emotional. And you say, "Pastor, what brought Job to this place of utter despair?" Well, in our text, he feels like that he's cut off from God. Now let me say again, he feels like he's cut off from God. Let me say that again, he feels like he's cut off from God. And I just want to stop and testify and say this, I'm glad my feeler ain't always equal to my faith. And somebody said, "Do you feel saved all the time?" I feel a lot of things, but saved a lot of times. Man, I pastor a Baptist church. How do you think I feel on Monday morning? I have to go see my mother-in-law like you have to go see your mother-in-law. Sure, there's times we don't feel saved. Job feels like that he's cut off from God. Now, before you judge, Brother Job, wait till you've been there. Have you ever prayed when it feels like your prayers are not getting any higher than the carpets on the floor?
Have you ever prayed and you felt like that heaven was brass and there was a wall between you and God? In our text, Job feels like that he's been abandoned. He's been forsaken. He feels like God is way up there and he is way down here and there's no way he can commune with God, for he feels like he's abandoned. And Job starts looking around for a mediator. He starts looking around for an arbitrator. He starts looking around for a daysman. He starts looking around for an intercessor. Somebody that can get between him and God. Somebody that can take their hand and lay it on God and lay it on Job to mediate his case. But he felt like there was none. Job is so clouded and Job is so blinded by his affliction. He can't see that standing somewhere in the shadows of his malady is one who is our heavenly daysman, an intercessor. One who seeks an audience with God on behalf of another. As I began to walk through the pages of the Word of God, I found intercession in three precious places. I found three places in the Bible where there is one that will seek an audience with God on our behalf and pray for us when we cannot pray for ourselves. The Bible says tonight in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 in verse number 1, Paul said, I exhort that first of all, that prayers and supplication and intercession be made for all the saints. Let me say number 1 tonight, there is intercession in the saints of God that labor. I'm glad tonight there's people all over the world who pray one for another. And brother, if you have somebody tonight that loves you enough to pray for you and plead the blood for you and beg God for you, if you have somebody tonight that loves you enough to seek God for you and to go to God for you and pray for you, you've got a friend tonight who is a treasure that is rich beyond measure. I tell people all over the country, the greatest thing you can do for Brother Joe Arthur is not buy one of our DVDs or buy one of our books or give us an offering. But one of the greatest things, the greatest thing you can do for Brother Joe Arthur and his ministry and his family is sometime in the wee hours of the morning when the devil would like to snuff out my life and ruin my ministry, seek an audience with God on my behalf and plead the blood for me and beg the power of God for me and go to God in prayer for me. I'm glad tonight we're not forsaken. We're not cast down. We're not abandoned. I'm been in the prayer closet somewhere or some blood washed Holy Ghost filled Jesus loving saints of God who pray for us when we cannot pray for ourselves. Well, I'm glad tonight we have the intercession of the prayers of the saints of God. My daddy was an old-time preacher. He's in heaven tonight. My dad was an old-fashioned, leather-lung, three-row, spitting, owl-running, hacking Baptist preacher. Preached in the power of God, believed in the Holy Ghost, and I like it. And I miss my daddy's preaching. I really do. I miss his fellowship. I miss the hunting trips. I miss the fishing trips. I asked my dad one time, I said, Daddy, you taught me how to hunt and you taught me how to fish. Why didn't you teach me how to play golf? He said, Son, we're saved and sanctified and saved people don't do such as that. Man, I'll tell you, I miss my dad, and I miss those hunting trips, and I miss those fishing trips. And when he got sick and had to quit preaching, he sat on the middle section of the front row of our church and agged his son. I miss all of that. But I'll tell you the thing about my dad I miss the most. I miss my daddy's prayers, because I believe this tonight with all of my heart. Only eternity will reveal the hell and the trouble and the demonic attacks that man of God's prayers prayed away from my life in that wall of prayer in my life. I'll tell you the only reason why, outside of the grace of God, I stand before you tonight still a pure man with my family intact and my ministry intact and my testimony intact. I'm glad there's been times when I couldn't pray for myself. Some child of God would get under a burden and the Holy Ghost would lay me on their heart and they go to God for me. They plead the blood for me. They beg God for me. I'm glad tonight there's somebody somewhere in your life that's seeking an audience with God on your behalf. Thank God for the people who pray. I've been pastoring our church 27 years, and I'm burying now that generation that called me, that tithing, faithful, there. Every time the door is open, generation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The kind that didn't talk about their preacher and gossip about the preacher and nitpick the preacher. They prayed for the preacher. I mean, that kind, you could preach on the maps and they'd get blessed. You could preach on tithing and they'd get blessed. You could preach on heaven and hell. It didn't matter. If it was in the book, they loved the preacher. And I'm burying that generation of men that through my ministry at our church at Harvest, I could count on their prayers. I could feel their prayers. I've been in airplanes, felt like it was going down, and I could feel the prayers of those saved men. I've been in the car, the van, in the middle of the night, lonely, afraid, and I felt the prayers of those men. I've stood in pulpits across this country, from north and south and east and west, and fought the demons of hell while I'm trying to keep somebody out of hell, and I could feel those prayers surrounding my life. And you go to some strange place and try to sleep, and the devil will wake you up in the middle of the night and lie to you and deceive you and try to fill your mind with sudden fear. But I felt them prayers of them men of God. Hallelujah. Bless God, I felt like preaching. Amen. That walked into the throne room and pleaded the blood and the power of the Holy Ghost. They got a hold of God so God could get a hold of me. And I'm glad in your valley, in your affliction, in the midst of your malady, there's somebody somewhere going to God on your behalf, and they're praying for us. There is intercession. There's intercession in the prayers of the saints of God. You know what I do sometimes? I overlook my blessings while I'm walking through the valley. I don't know if you're wired up this way, but I am. I can have a church or preach to a congregation of maybe, let's just say, 500 people. 499 of them are being blessed. And I will overlook the 499 and see one wet blanket. You know, one of them kind, like, pour it on me, boy, if you can. And I let that one just tear my nerves up. Man, I have a church full of folks, and most of them, from what they say, like me, pray for me, support me, and I'll get my mind on some old jackleg. He wouldn't be happy if Jesus pastored. He wouldn't be happy if the angels sang in the choir and St. Peter led it with a wing. They wouldn't be satisfied if David played the harp and Gideon blew the trumpet and John the Baptist picked the banjo. I mean, they wouldn't be happy. Boy, I'll get my mind off of my supporters. I'll get my mind off of my prayer partners. And I'll overemphasize my opposition. I'll overemphasize my critics. And sometimes the sovereign God of heaven has to stop and remind me, son, everybody's not against you. Everybody's not out to get you, boy. There's some people out here that I know that knows me, and they love you enough. They've been praying for you. They've been seeking God for you. Aren't you glad tonight you're not alone? You're not the only saint. You're not the only Christian. You're not the only Jesus lover. We are surrounded tonight in the midst of our affliction by the prayers, the intercessory prayers of the saints of God. There's intercession in the saints that labor. Then number two, I came to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 25 and 26. Where Paul, and by the way, I don't believe what one Bible commentator said about Romans 6, 7, and 8. He said, Paul wasn't saved when he wrote that. If you believe that, you got rooms for rent upstairs. That is a dignifying way of saying, you wrong. I don't believe Paul was lost when the Holy Ghost inspired him to write any of this precious book. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 25, 26, 27, Paul says, there are times when I don't know how to pray. He said, there are times when I don't know what to pray or as I ought to pray. You put that in plain old Georgia language, it means there are times when he didn't know how to pray, what to pray, when to pray, or how to go through praying. And he said, I know I can pray. I know I should pray. I know I ought to pray. But I don't know how and when. I can't form the words. He said, but in verse number 26, he said, but the Spirit, not his weak spirit, but the power of the Holy Spirit. I've got wrote down on my outline, holler glory right here. Glory right here. He said, but the Spirit itself, it says it helpeth our infirmities. That word helpeth means he gets up under it and lifts it up and carries the heaviest part of the load. And it helpeth our infirmities. And Paul said, but I don't know how to pray or as I ought to pray. He said, the Spirit itself, I love this, maketh intercession. Same word, troubleshooter, bridge builder, arbitrator, problem solver, case handler, intercessor, one that seeks an audience with God upon my behalf. The Spirit of God maketh intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. May I say there's not only intercession in the saints that labor, but secondly, may I say to your heart tonight, there's intercession in the Spirit that leads. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. He is an arbitrator. He is a mediator. The Spirit of God seeks an audience with God on our behalf. And when we can't pray, He prays in us, through us, and for us. The Holy Ghost is praying. It says that He maketh intercession for us. And the King James Bible uses an interesting phrase. It said, with groanings that cannot be uttered. Have you ever seen anybody so distressed and distraught they couldn't form the words to their prayer? I've been there. There's been times pastoring the church and trying to help others and preaching across the country that you get overwhelmed with your needs and responsibilities. And there's been times in my life I knew I could pray. I knew I should pray. I knew I ought to pray. But at the time, the valley was so deep and the night was so dark and the burden was so heavy, I just couldn't seem to get the words out. I was overwhelmed by my grief, and my grief, my malady, my affliction left me speechless. And so my prayer went something like this. Oh God, dear Jesus, help, Lord, time out. Aren't you glad the Lord understands the simple prayers of desperation? Aren't you glad the Lord understands? Oh, God. Aren't you glad the Lord understands? Dear Jesus. Aren't you glad the Lord understands? Help me, Lord. Sometimes we don't know the fancy words. We can't seem to express our grief to God. I'm glad when you don't know what to say and they don't know what to say, the Holy Ghost in us, He knows what to say and He knows how to say it, and He's praying on the inside when we can't pray for ourselves. Hallelujah. You know what's so good about this Spirit intercession work of the Holy Ghost? This spiritual daysman that resides in the being of every born again, blood washed child of God. Someone said, "Preacher, do you know who's got the Holy Ghost and who don't?" I sure do. Them that are saved have, and them that ain't saved ain't got it. Him. Yeah. You know who's going to heaven and who's not? Yep. Them that's got the Holy Ghost, they going. Them that ain't got the Holy Ghost, they ain't a going. If you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit resides in you, indwells in you, identifies with you, bears witness to your spirit that you are the sons of God. He lives in us. And what I love about that spiritual intercessor that lives in the saints, Romans chapter 8 gives two divine qualities. Number one, it says the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. And then it says the Spirit of God knows our infirmities. Let me say it like this. He knows all about you. And He knows all about God. Let me say it like this. He knows what you need and He knows what God demands. He knows the kind of prayer you need to pray, and He knows the only kind of prayer that God can answer. And I'm telling you, sometimes God's demand and my need and what I need and God's expectation is 1,000 worlds apart. But that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and He lifts up my need, well, glory, and lifts up my prayer. And somehow before He's finished, my need, my prayer is on the level with God's expectation and God's demand. For He knows all about God. And He knows all about me. And He prays through me. And He prays in me. And He lifts my infirmity. And He lifts my request. He lifts my burden. And by the time my unutterable grief leaves my heart to the heart of God, it's according to the will of God. And God answers my prayer, because the Holy Spirit interceded on my behalf. I spent a lot of time at the airport, and I see people telling their loved ones goodbye, and especially since the war on terror, moms and dads and wives and girlfriends and even boyfriends go down there and tell some soldier boy or some soldier girl goodbye, and they get on that plane and boy, they stand there and cry. I don't know how you're wired up, but if I see somebody laugh, I'm going to laugh. And if I see somebody tore up, I'm going to get tore up. I was down at the airport the other day, and this soldier boy came off the plane, and everybody got to crying, everybody got to hugging. And before I knew it, I was in the middle of it getting hugged by people I didn't even know. Some little lady come over there and kissed me on the side of the jaw. You say, "What'd you do?" I was a southern gentleman and I kissed her back. I couldn't help it. But if I'm walking through the airport, it's okay if I walk around. But if I'm walking through the airport and I see a man or a woman or boy or girl standing against the wall crying, I know something's wrong or they wouldn't be crying. But I still have to ask them, what's wrong? Oh, I'm glad the Holy Ghost doesn't have to ask me what's wrong. He doesn't come up and ask questions. He just comes up and says, here it is. There have been times I've had afflictions and needs and heartaches and maladies. I didn't really know how bad it was. But the Spirit of God knew my frame. He knew my weakness. He knew all about me. And that God that I want to know, that Father that I want to touch, that God that I want to get a hold of, that Holy Spirit, amen, not only knows all about me, but He knows all about Him. And He lifts my request, and He lifts my need, and He bears my petition to God. I'm glad when you can't hear Him, He's praying in you. Well, there's times my prayers are like, oh God, help, Lord. Why, if you come to the altar tonight with a burden, and somebody, myself or anybody else, hears you pray like that, oh God, oh Lord, dear Jesus, sweet Lamb, help God. Somebody heard you pray that, if I heard you pray that, if you heard me pray that, somebody heard me pray that, we'd say, well, they're not saying a lot. Boy, they must not know how to pray. They're not saying a lot. But what you can't hear, and you couldn't understand it if you could hear, there's somebody in me, oh yeah, that's praying for me, talking to God for me, groanings that cannot be uttered. And you say, how powerful is the groaning of the Holy Ghost? As powerful as the groanings of Jesus in John 11 by the grave of Lazarus. They rolled that stone away, and Mary and Martha weeping at His feet, and Jesus began to groan. And about that time He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And I'm telling you tonight, when you can't feel God, when you can't hear God, when you can't sense God, He, the Holy Spirit, is groaning and praying. And your Lazarus is about to get up and go to walking around. Hallelujah. There's intercession in the saints that labor. There's intercession in the Spirit that leads. And the number three, I came to this text, Hebrews 7:25, where it talks about Jesus Christ, our great high priest, our bridge builder, our case handler, our problem solver, our arbitrator, our heavenly daysman. You know what it says about Him? It said He entered into the heavens with His own blood. You know what it says about Him? It says He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You know what it says about Him? It says He was in all points tempted like we are. But you know what it said about Him in Hebrews 7:25? It says, seeing that He ever liveth. And pardon me if I get overexcited about that part of the verse, because that's my favorite part. Seeing that He ever liveth. And you know, in the English language, when a word ends in E-T-H, it means two things. It means right now and on and on and on. I'm glad He liveth right now. And on and on and on and on. I know the Bible said He knoweth. He knows right now, and He knows and He knows and He knows and never stops knowing, because He never runs out of know to know. The Bible said He giveth. He giveth right now. And he gives and he gives, never stops giving because he never runs out of give to give. The Bible said he loveth. He loves right now. And he loves and loves, never stops loving because he never runs out of love to love. And praise God, the one that knoweth and the one that giveth and the one that loveth. Woo! Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He lives right now. And he lives and he lives and never stops living because he never runs out of live to live. Thank God he ever liveth. You can't drown him. He'll walk on water. You can't burn him. He'll walk around in the midst of the fire. Woo! You can't seal him out. He'll walk through the door and won't even ring the bell. You can't put him on a cross. He'll bleed on it and render it powerless. By God Almighty, you can't seal him in a tomb because he'll come out on the third day and say, I'm he that liveth and I was dead and I'm alive forevermore. He liveth. Seeing that he ever liveth. Woo! To make. To make intercession for us. Same word. Bridge builder. Troubleshooter. Arbitrator. Case handler. Problem solver. Mediator, intercessor, one who seeks an audience with God on behalf of another. You say, preacher, I feel like there's nobody on this earth that loves me enough and cares about me enough to pray for me. Well, I don't think you're right. But if you are, can I just help myself? You may be right, I'll agree with you. You may be right, but if you are, let me remind you, there may not be one on this earth that cares enough to pray for you. But I promise you, way up yonder in the third heaven, where the throne of grace is, where God Almighty lives, there is one at his right hand, and his name is Jesus, and he's praying for you tonight. He's my daysman. I was preaching this one time, and a little fellow came to me and said, well, Brother Arthur, I think your message was contradictory. He didn't even know how to spell it. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you said a while ago that Jesus, you know, is our intercessor and prays for us, and now you say Jesus Christ is an intercessor and prays for us. Then I said, well, the Bible does say in John 16, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, Jesus said, the comforter, the paraclete, the bridge builder, the paraclete, troubleshooter, case handler, problem solver, and go-between, daysman, intercessor, cannot come. And he prays within us. And then 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 1 says, if any man sin, we have an advocate. Same word, paraclete, bridge builder, troubleshooter, arbitrator, go-between, intercessor, case handler, problem solver. Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, see, there you go. You said Jesus is doing it, and then you say the Lord's doing it. That's a contradiction. I said, no, Bubba, that's not a contradiction. That's double coverage. Okay, theologically, positionally speaking, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Theologically, positionally speaking, where is the Holy Spirit? In you and me that are saved. So, I got one in here. And I got one up there. Aren't you glad you come from a part of the world that you know what up there means? Brother, that means up there. 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 Now, three Yankees are not. You and her and him. Let me move on over here. I went fishing one time with a preacher. He's dead now. His name was Billy Kelly. Brother Billy Kelly was a preacher and a singer, and he was a big preacher and a singer. I tell you how big a preacher and singer he was. He weighed 420 when he died. He said his greatest fear in life was dying hungry. He said, I don't want to go to heaven. Want more gravy and ham, and God, like Roloff, won't let me have none. I went fishing with him about a month before I got married, and I found out something about Brother Billy. He knew about the Bible, and he knew about camp meeting, and he knew about singing and all, but he didn't know nothing about no boat. We got out there in this little boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, and that motor blew. And I mean, I got to crying. I mean, I couldn't see no land. Pulled my nerve. I the man done told me he'd eat anything. And I could just picture out there about 4 or 5 days, him looking at my leg going, that looks like a chicken leg. And I got to crying. He said, shut up. The reason why he told me to shut up, he's about to cry himself. He said, you remind me of Simon Peter. It scared the devil out of him too. And I said, William Church Fool Kelly, we're not in Greenville, South Carolina. We're in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. He said, don't you trust God? I said, yeah, but I don't trust you. I said, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, son, some people pray their way out. Some people fret their way out. Some people worry their way out. I eat my way out. He said, I'm going to eat me a mater sandwich. He reached and got out a loaf of bread that was on Noah's Ark. He reached and got a tomato that they brought back from the land of Canaan when they swam across the Jordan. And he got out a jar of mayonnaise that Blue Bonnet wouldn't touch. Topped it off with a can of sardines. Drunk a 16-ounce crush orange. And the boat doing this. And I'm over here begging God for mercy. Finally, I said, just tell me something to do. He said, all right, if it make you feel better, throw the anchor out. Well, by that time, my nerves was tore up. So I just grabbed the anchor and chucked her out. I found something about anchors. Doesn't matter how big they are, how heavy they are, the shape they are, you got to have a rope tied to it. So I threw the anchor over with no rope and lost the anchor. Then it took an 8-foot graphite rod, wham, across my back and said, you stupid young people don't know nothing. I said, I know one thing. I won't be fishing with you no time soon. I found something out about anchors. No matter how hard, heavy and large and big that anchor is, it's got to be tied on both ends. You got to have a cable tied to the anchor, and then the other end of the cable has got to be tied to the boat. It's got to be tied on both ends. I'm going somewhere. Thank God when Jesus arose from the grave. Hey, man, I know I got to quit, but I'm feeling like James Brown. I feel good right here. Oh, that day Jesus died and rose and ascended. He took his precious blood behind the veil, put it on the altar, and anchored our eternal redemption. And that moment, that millisecond, that day, that hour that you trusted Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost came in and tied the other end of the line. Now you fixed up there and you fixed down here. Heaven can't get too far from you. You can't get too far from heaven. We've got double coverage. We've got somebody that is our day's money. Jesus Christ, the Savior that lives. Let me close with this. Out of all of the attributes about the daysman, Job specifically said that he might lay his hand on us both. He didn't talk about the eyes of the daysman, the lips of the daysman, the feet of the daysman, and he could. But he specifically referred to his hand. What is so special about the hand of the daysman? I need two fellas to help me. Preacher, you be one if you don't mind, and brother, you be the other. Let's say these two fellas get in an argument. You know, the Holy Spirit said, I need to use somebody else. This ain't working out right. Let's say these two fellas have an issue that can't be resolved because he don't know what he needs and he don't know what he expects. And they can't settle it. So they call for a daysman, an arbitrator, a troubleshooter. He is a man that gets betwixt them. Here's what a daysman does. He writes with his hand the terms of the contract. You're going to get that in a minute. He writes the terms of the contract. And he lays it on the table. And he tells one party to put his right hand on the terms. And the other party puts his right hand on the terms. And here's what seals the deal. Then the daysman takes his hand. And what a hand that is. Thumped out stars and put up clouds and heaped up mountains and scooped out oceans and reached further down than you could reach up. Wounded and bled and died on Calvary and walked on the other side of the cemetery and waved it and said, I'm alive. He takes his hand and he puts it on top of their hand. And when the hand of that daysman goes across the hand of the opposing parties on the terms of surrender, it's settled. It's done. And neither one ever brings it up again. Oh, I'm glad tonight in your affliction when you don't feel like nobody cares or nobody understands, just hold your hand out to the daysman. And he'll get between you and God and he'll lay his hand upon both of you. He'll do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Job was blinded by his affliction and he said, I don't feel like there is nobody. And I say, Job, look through the telescope of faith, honey. He's on the way. He just walked by the altar of Abel. He just came by the brazen serpent in the wilderness. He just flooded the holies of holies. He just fell out of Isaiah's scroll, wrote in Ezekiel's will. Prayed with Job, my Redeemer liveth. Job, David's shepherd that's in the valley. Amos is yoke, Zechariah's fountain, and Malachi, son of righteousness. Amen. He just got born of a virgin, just lived the sinless life, just died upon Calvary. He just got up from the grave, ascended back into heaven. He's on his way back for the second trip. I'm glad he is our heavenly daysman. Let's stand together tonight. Lord Jesus, we love you. We've enjoyed being in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege again to stand before the people of God and preach the Word of God. And I do not know the needs of this congregation. I don't know their frame, but you do. And there's no one in this place tonight by accident or afterthought. God, you've planned it this way. God, I believe before you laid the mud seals of this earth, you planned this service tonight, tailor-made it for the people's needs. And Lord, help us not to be so blinded by our affliction that we can't see that in the shadows is a daysman. There's somebody praying for us when we can't pray for ourselves. May the Word of God tonight find a lodging place in our heart. And we'll thank You, Lord, for what You do in Jesus' name. Pastor, God bless you.